Hey everybody, this is Abby Garvey with Simplify 101, and today I am talking to Julie Morgenstern about her new book, When Organizing Isn't Enough. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Abby. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm great.
Awesome. Great. So tell me about your new book, When Organizing Isn't Enough. How is this different from some of your prior books that you've written?
Well, I think my whole suite of books prior to this one really addressed designing systems to help get people where they want to go, which is really what organizing is. Organizing is what you do when you know where you want to go, but you can't figure out how to get there. It's about systems, systems to be more efficient, systems to save time, systems to, you know, make your space work for you, your schedule work for you. But, you know, and there were many strategies that really work for people that make enormous sense, but in order to adopt those strategies, they had to release some old habits, old ways of doing things. And so organizing wasn't enough. That was one of the issues that gave rise to this book. Is like, I can tell you that to be more effective at work, you shouldn't check email every 10 minutes. But you should,
right.
You know, and don't check email first thing in the morning. Break that habit. Learn to concentrate. All that makes sense to everybody. A lot
right.
of people are able to implement it, but then there were people who it made sense, but they couldn't quite release their old way of doing things to do something more effective. And so this book kind of helps people with the next level. When it's not about what's the system, but it's how do I adapt it? How do I change? How do I move into a new place? And it's really about change. That's what this book is about, and freeing up space to change.
So it sounds like you get into a lot about new habits and how to do things differently, as opposed to just here's how to do something differently. It's how to change that mindset and how to create those new habits.
Yeah, and how to make a permanent change. So so it's not just here's how to do it, but how do you make that a permanent change in your life? So that's one of the things the book addresses, and really. It's you know, it's about for those times when you don't know where you're going, but where you are isn't it. Do you know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And so it kind of addresses that transitional state and how do you figure out what's next in your life.
So in a nutshell, how is shedding different from organizing?
Well, in a nutshell, organizing is what you do when you know where you want to go, but you don't know how to get there.
Okay.
But when you need or want to make a change and are unsure of your destination, you don't need to organize, you need to shed. So let me add one other, I think, interesting perspective.
Okay.
I think classically, people think, when they think organize, they think that means getting rid of things. That
okay.
Organizing and decluttering go hand in hand. And I have been saying for 19 years that they don't go hand in hand, that you can get organized without getting rid of anything. Because organizing is basically gives you access to what you use and love and helps you function better in your space or in your time. You don't have to get rid of anything to get organized. You just need to be able to find what you need when you need it.
Gotcha.
So
decluttering is...
Decluttering is a different process with a completely different purpose. So if decluttering doesn't get you organized, what does decluttering do? Well, decluttering gets you unstuck.
Gotcha.
And that's what this book is about. This book is about when do you it's about decluttering for the purpose of getting unstuck, for getting through a transition, for moving into a better future. And that's what this book is about, and that's how it is very different than anything I've written in the past.
So for people who are stuck, they have too much stuff, they're not really sure where they want to go, is that who this book is really for?
Yeah, it's when you're feeling generally weighed down in your life.
Okay.
You feel like there's something more you want to do in your life. It could be in your career, it could be personally, it could be your home. You just feel like there's something more, but you don't know what it is.
Okay.
You're feeling weighed down. And whatever it is that you kind of desire, you're not sure you can pull it off. So you kind of want something more, but you're not sure you can pull it off, and you're feeling weighed down. And that's a classic profile for somebody who is ready for decluttering. And they can be organized, by the way. I have so many clients that their stuff is organized, but they're stuck in their lives. So you don't have to be disorganized to declutter.
So it's a case of they've got the wrong stuff in their life because it doesn't represent what they really want to be doing with their life. Is that part of it? It's organized stuff, but it's the wrong stuff?
Yeah, I'll share a story that I share in the book, which is this old Zen parable about this monk taking a walk in a woods, and he came upon a raging river that was too wide and too deep for him to wade across or to even swim across. He wouldn't make it. So he had to stop and spend several days building a raft. So he like tore down branches and tied them together, and he built a raft.
Uh-huh.
And it took him across to the other side, safely to the other side of the river. And when he got to the other side of the river, he looked at the raft and he thought, wow, this was a great raft.
Yeah.
Maybe I ought to hang on to it in case I ever come across another river. And he put the raft on his back and carried it for the rest of his life.
Right. And
so
that's really doing that, isn't there?
You know, how we do that all the time, right?
Yes,
we acquire things
exactly.
That really we needed at some point. They really were useful to us at some point. And then when their usefulness is no longer there, we're still carrying them thinking, well, we might need it again someday. And sometimes the stuff that's in our lives, the stagnant stuff, you know, that we've acquired, that's weighing us down, it never was going to be useful to us. We picked it up because we thought it might be useful someday, or someone thought it might be useful to us.
Right.
Thought it was, and so we have these rafts on our back that... there's no room to bring on anything new if your back is, you know, if you're carrying all these things that are no longer relevant. So decluttering is getting rid of what is no longer relevant to free up your time, your space, your energy, your mind for things that are new and relevant.
So one of the things that you talk about in the book is treasure and trash. So it sounds like the raft on our back is the trash. Mm-hmm. So what are the treasures, and how do people identify those treasures?
Well, I think, you know, again, when you the first thing you really want to do is sort of inventory. Let's just start with the physical space, because the book addresses physical clutter, it addresses schedule clutter, and it addresses habit clutter. And all three of those are really very, very tangible, but they're different. And the easiest to talk about is physical clutter for our conversation. It's a good starting point for people anyway, because it's the most tactile. And
exactly.
So what you know, the book in the process I recommend is that you kind of inventory your space, your home or your office for pockets of clutter, and those are anything that's stagnant, things that are just not moving, organized or not, you're not going in, you're not getting anything, you're not putting anything back there, it's stuck. And then each pocket of clutter, you have to go through the shed process, and it's four steps, right? That's an acronym for separate the treasures, heave the trash, embrace your identity from within, and drive yourself forward. So it's a very specific set of steps that you go through. So separate the treasures is, before you dive in there, it's not all trash. It's probably not all trash. There are some gems in there that are truly worth hanging on to because they have very practical value. As you think of where you're going in your life, they could be they really are practical, or it might even be very meaningful. So you want to write that down before you dive in. You have to identify before you dive in what could the treasures be. It's like what I call treasure guidelines before you dive in. And then once you're ready to dive in, all you're doing is searching for those treasures. You know what the list is. This is what the treasure could be. You pull those and you separate it out from the rest, which you then heave.
Wow.
So I worked with a client recently who had been very organized. Actually, she was a follower of my books, and she'd used organizing from the inside out to organize her home, her files, everything.
Uh-huh.
But she was stuck. And the thing that was bugging her the most was she had these 50 inches of file, these two file drawers, big, long, giant file drawers, filled with papers that every time she went by, she got so overwhelmed, she would just go and take a nap. And this was for like 2 years.
Wow.
And I went to work with her and sat down and I said, okay, let's identify the treasures. What are the treasures that could be in here? So she had a lot of her school records from the time she was like in elementary school all the way through grad school. Big fat files. There were multiple files from each of her educational institutions. And we wrote a list on a post-it of what the treasure, what were her treasure guidelines. So it was like original, original final transcripts, top papers that, you know, were really represented her best work, and I think any personal notes from teachers or friends that really had meaning to her. So it was a very short list. We put that on the outside of each folder, you know, the treasure guidelines. And then when she went through, she just followed the guidelines, and it was like effortless for her to separate treasure from trash. And she went in 5 hours. This is after 2 years. 5 hours, she went from 50 inches of files to 5 inches of files.
Wow.
By treasure. And it was effortless. I didn't have to cajole. I didn't have to cheerlead. It was just what, think it through, and all I did was sit there, and she did it. And it was extraordinarily easy for her
once
she had the treasure gun. Yeah, so that's it.
So one of the things I really like about the book is that you talk about the fact that this clutter has value, and that, you know, you kind of tell people to slow down a little bit and think about what's in that clutter before just tossing it. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so you have to ask yourself, why am I holding on to this? And it's not just because you haven't had time to clear it out. It's not because you're a bad or stupid person or ridiculous or anything like that. Like, there's, the clutter represents an attachment. You're attached to it somehow. And before you just push yourself to get rid of it, slow down and ask yourself, what's the value of this? What is it serving me? Because if you don't do that, once it's gone, you're going to refill the space very quickly. You have to understand what it represents. So let's use this client as a good example as a through line. It was like, what is these 50 inches, what does this content and these files represent to you? Why are you holding on to it? And if you get rid of it, what's going to happen? And she wanted to get rid of it because she felt like what was in there were a lot of projects that she had intended to do. She was like a project creative person.
Uh-huh.
Projects she picked up along the way, and she never got a chance to complete. And I said, well, if you release those, what are you going to do with your time? And she said, well, she wants to go out and take more advantage of it. She'd move to a new city and to be more social and get more involved in things. But she wasn't doing that for 2 years because she had these papers to go through.
Wow.
And I said, all right, well, then what if what you have to do is on the outside instead of on the inside, right? Like, release all those projects. They're defunct.
Right.
Go out and have projects in the world. And she said, well, actually, I'm afraid that I won't make the right choices.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh. So these projects represent kind of her fear. I'm not quite articulating this. She came up with the language for it, but she was attached to them because they kept her from making a mistake and taking advantage of all the options in the new city.
They kept her in a comfort zone, even though it was a nap and a dreaming comfort zone, it was still a comfort zone for her.
Yeah, it was a fear that she would make the wrong decisions and choose the wrong things. So it kept her from having to do that. So we ended up we just sort of talked it through, and I was like, and we ended up coming up with a theme, and I talk about that in the book. And she's always tried to get everything perfect in her life.
Yeah.
She wanted to get learning the city perfect. So her theme ended up becoming loosen up.
Awesome.
Yep, so loosen up. So the next phase of her life is all about loosen up. And then she was able to, like, get rid of all the things. She could make mistakes in what she did in the city. It was a distraction. It was a way to keep her from making the wrong choice. So that was her attachment to it.
So tell us more about that theme, and how does somebody go about picking a theme, and how do they know, you know, when I was reading through the book, I was like, wow, this is really interesting, but how would I pick a theme? You know what I mean? How would I come up with that one or two, you know, words that really represents what I want next?
Right. Well, the concept of coming up with a theme really comes from the reality that none of us let go into a vacuum. You're not going to let go of the raft.
Right.
If you don't know what you're reaching toward, right?
Gotcha.
And that's where we get stuck when we're in transition. We like, well, until we know exactly what we're reaching for, we don't let go of the raft. But if you don't let go of the raft, you don't have any time or space to think about or explore what you might be reaching for. So it's kind of, it's a complicated moment.
Right.
So what I've learned in working with clients is they're stuck because they don't know exactly what they're going to do next, so they're stuck. And it's like, well, forget about exactly what you're going to do next. Keep this job, change this job, ask for a promotion, move to a bigger place, move to a smaller place, keep the boyfriend, dump the boyfriend, forget the specifics.
Mm-hmm.
What does the next phase of your life feel like?
Awesome.
What does it feel like to you? Is it joy? Is it creativity? Is it connection? Is it loosen up? Is it, do you see what I mean? Just name
Absolutely.
The feeling.
So tell me, so it sounds like this is much different from a goal or something, you know, specific,
right.
like a plan. It's
right.
more based on feeling as opposed to a specific destination.
That's exactly right. And all you got to do is, like, name that feeling.
That's awesome.
And
that's
that beautiful. Takes the pressure off of a final decision, but it gives you enough of, that's what I'm moving toward. And then when you go back to the pockets of clutter, you're separating the treasure and heaving the trash based upon that theme, which is that theme is what you're moving toward. It's you don't know what
how you
specific,
want to feel.
Exactly, how you want to feel.
That's
and
awesome.
it dislodges you. And you know you've got the right word when you feel excited. You're like, yes, that's what I want. I want mobility. I want creativity. I want loosen up. Yes, I want to loosen up. That's what I want. And then it's so much easier to shed once you have your theme.
That's awesome. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. So how do you, where do you go from there? So you've got your theme. Then what do you do next?
So then you have to sort of pick your point of entry, the first thing you're going to shed, because we all have these pockets of clutter, I've actually redefined them as points of entry.
Okay.
It's not junk, it's a point of entry.
Gotcha.
And you see, it's like, okay, and so you kind of inventory your space, and you, do a little chart, and like, what are all the different points of entry I've got, all the stagnant areas, and then I actually think you should sort of choose the one that takes up the largest amount of space, but you feel the least attachment to. Not no attachment, but the least attachment. There's some attachment to all of the clutter in your life. But, you know, it could be, I work with this client, I talk about her in the book, she had to do her whole house. And
So
one pocket was like her furniture. She had like 5 bedrooms worth of furniture, and she was trying to figure out how to scale down. She also had like, you know, hundreds of books. Furniture, took up a lot of space, but with less attachment than the books. So we started there, you know. So you want to open up a big space early, and so you just pick your first point of entry, and then you dive in. You do the SHED, separate treasures, heave the rest, embrace your identity, and drive yourself forward. And once you get your first point of entry done, which is the hardest because it's like getting started,
mm-hmm.
which is why you need a relatively low attachment location. That once you've done that, you start to, it's this cascading effect occurs, and all of a sudden you're ready to tackle another pocket at a point of entry and another point of entry and another, and before you know it, you're like a shedding maniac. So excited and like can't wait to shed some more. And it's like a Pac-Man, like getting these energy, you know, buttons that you're eating because you're just like, yes, it's great.
That's awesome.
And it's really fun, yeah.
So then you talk about aiming for a radical release, which it sounds like in the beginning that's just kind of a natural thing. They build this momentum, they get this energy, and it's just, you know, you're going for this radical release. But then you also talk about the wall of panic. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the radical release is, you know, it's a little contrary to some philosophies out there which say, like, remove 2 things a day from your house. I don't think that creates the opening, right? It's not a big enough radical release.
Mm-hmm.
So the radical release, you let go of all the trash and whatever the pocket of entry is. And yes, it's exciting, but also I've never seen it fail that there is a moment after you have released all of that designated trash that you panic. It's the wall of panic, and you're like, oh, my God, who am I without that stuff?
Okay.
It's like space you're not used to. It's an opening you're not used to. And there's this like, oh, my God. And so the temptation is to go and grab what you just got rid of and bring it back.
Uh-huh.
Or lurch forward and just acquire anything new to fill that empty space. And so you have to know that this wall of panic, by the way, only lasts, I've never really seen it last more than 2 days, and it's usually 2 to 3 hours. And That's great. It's very heartening, right, to just hang in there. That the thing is, don't make a move. It's a wall of panic. It's going to pass shortly. And what do you do in that to, like, sustain yourself if that's where E, embrace your identity from within? Because the reason you're feeling that is you've detached your identity from your stuff. Your stuff is out. And you're like, your identity was tied up in that. So now you have to, instead of attaching your identity to the stuff you got rid of or the new stuff you're going to get, embrace your identity from within. It's like this woman, you know, she had this now 5 inches where there were 50, a lot of door space. Oh, my God, what if, you know, who am I without all those projects? Who am I if I now am free to go explore the city? I am a smart person. I am a capable person. I can loosen up. I've done well in my life. It's all that kind of self-talk, like, I am who I am, who I am. I don't need anything to define me. Because the definition comes from within, really, doesn't it? It's you acquired that stuff. You dumped it. You could acquire more. Our stuff is only a reflection of who we are inside.
Exactly. And I think I love that chapter in the book because you really walk people through concrete ways to kind of tap into their past life to really kind of shore up that confidence and know that they're, you know, they're okay with all other stuff.
Yeah. And there are very concrete ways to tap. You know, you literally look back in your life at certain moments and it connects you to who you are no matter where you were in your life. This is who I am.
Yeah.
And it's very soothing. And it's actually the true breakthrough moment because now you are you know what I mean? You don't need stuff to define you or busyness to define you.
Uh-huh.
You're very centered in who you are, and now you're in a position to drive yourself forward toward that theme, toward that feeling, toward loosen up or mobility or creativity, and really, again, go through a series of concrete steps to experiment with what that might look like for you. Take a few classes at a local cooking school or try a museum or, you know, in the case of this woman, like she could experiment and give herself 6 months to a year to play around with what loosen up may look like.
Yeah.
But not have to make any final decisions. And now she's having fun because she's embraced her identity from within and she's fully present and the transition becomes fun.
That's so awesome. So how about you? Was there a particular transition in your life that motivated you to embark on your own shed?
Yeah, I've had a few. I think the very first experience I had of shedding was, you know, I started my organizing business in 1989, and prior to that, I'd been in the theater. I was a director.
Wow.
And I'd gone to graduate school, and was out there in New York and Chicago doing theater and film direction. And then I started my business when I got divorced and I had a 3-year-old and I could no longer afford theater hours or theater money.
Right.
And about 3 years into the business, I kind of hit a little plateau in the business. Like it took off right away, but then I was sort of stuck. I wasn't making money unless I was out working with clients. That felt very vulnerable to me. I was a kid depending on me. You know,
right.
A breadwinner. And I couldn't figure out how to grow the business. And one weekend, it seemed to be not connected, but one weekend I was hanging around my house. And I I live in Brooklyn, you know, New York, very little storage. I had deeply buried underneath my dining room table, way in the back, were a series of boxes of all my theater production books because I didn't have a basement or an attic. And they were sort of tucked away. And there was they weren't visible to anybody, but I knew they were there. And I thought, this is just ridiculous. I need to, get rid of this stuff.
Right.
So I started to, I pulled them out of, I don't know, a bunch of boxes. And inside were all my theater production books. And I wanted to get rid of them. And I thought, for a moment, I was like, but this is all my creativity. These books represent my creativity.
Uh-huh.
And how can I release them? Because they are so representative. And then I thought, well, they represent my creativity, but my creativity is I produced those books. The creativity came from within.
Right.
And I don't need the books to remind me that I'm a creative person.
Mm-hmm.
I am a creative person. That's how the books came into being. So I basically narrowed it down to, like, my couple, two or three of my absolutely all-time favorite productions, most meaningful successes that I had, and I got rid of everything else. Because I embraced my identity from within, right? And
right.
I will tell you that within 3 to 6 months, my business doubled.
Wow.
It took off.
Oh, wow.
And I realized, in hindsight, that as long as I had those boxes and those books, I was staying attached to my theater career, my theater identity, and hadn't fully jumped in with all four paws into my business. I was like one foot in a saddle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's interesting because you had attached your creativity to that part of your life, so you probably then brought that creativity into your business. Which
absolutely right about that. That's right. And the truth is you bring your whole self to whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That's what happened is I then allowed my creativity to, like, come right into the business and fuel the business. It literally doubled sales. Started training other people in my methods, created a team of organizers, solved the problem of if I got sick and I couldn't be with a client, I now could have an income because I had other people working for me. I mean, it was extraordinary what happened.
That's amazing. All from getting rid of some books.
That's right, because it's not just that.
It is.
That's why it's a point of entry.
Yeah.
Right.
And I love that term. I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So what one piece of advice would you give to someone as they embark upon this life-changing process?
I would say that, first of all, you have to recognize that decluttering and getting rid of things is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And don't fool yourself and don't let anybody tell you that it's easy. Like, come on, get rid of it. Come on, get over it. It's just stuff.
Right.
It's not just stuff. It's really symbolic of some attachment, and it is a phenomenal opportunity to not only free up space and energy to move forward, but to actually gain tremendous insight into yourself and to start with one point of entry. Start with something and just try the shed process so that you something you don't have that much attachment to. Maybe it's your junk drawer.
Right,
your desk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, recognize it's hard. It takes courage, but it is without a doubt will reward you with such a sense of enrichment, of vitality, of confidence. And if you want to engage in the world more fully, then decluttering and shedding is really one of the most tangible ways to get yourself there.
Well, that is great. Thank you so much for spending time with me today talking about your book. It's a wonderful book. I read it myself, and I loved it, and it was just great to get your inside scoop on it and hear you talk about it. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Abby. I really appreciate your time.
You too. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.